This morning scripture we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. Could we please stand for the reading of the gospel? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd, my people, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Amen.
Okay. Lectura del Santo Evangelio. Mateo, capítulo 2, versículo 1 al 12. La visita de los magos. Cuando Jesús nació en Belén de Judea, en días del rey Herodes, vinieron del oriente a Jerusalén unos magos diciendo: "¿Dónde está el rey de los judíos que ha nacido? Porque su estrella hemos visto en el oriente y venimos a adorarle." Oyendo esto, el rey Herodes se turbó y toda Jerusalén con él. Y convocados todos los príncipes y sacerdotes y escribas del pueblo, les preguntó dónde había de nacer el Cristo. Ellos le dijeron: "En Belén de Judea, porque así está escrito por el profeta: Y tú, Belén, de la tierra de Judá, no eres la más pequeña entre los príncipes de Judá, porque de ti saldrá un guiador que apacentará a mi pueblo de Israel." Entonces Herodes, llamando en secreto a los magos, indagó de ellos diligentemente el tiempo de la aparición de la estrella, y enviándolos a Belén dijo: "Id allá y averiguad con diligencia acerca del niño, y cuando le halléis, hacédmelo saber para que yo también vaya y le adore." Ellos, habiendo oído al rey, se fueron, y he aquí la estrella que habían visto en el oriente iba delante de ellos, hasta que llegando se detuvo sobre donde estaba el niño. Y al ver la estrella se regocijaron con muy grande gozo. Y al entrar en la casa vieron al niño con su madre María, y postrándose lo adoraron, y abriendo sus tesoros le ofrecieron presentes, oro, incienso y mirra. Pero siendo avisados por revelación en sueños que no volviesen a Herodes, regresaron a su tierra por otro camino. Esta es palabra de Dios. Demos gracias a Dios.
And so here we go again. We almost always, as you know, start a new year with the story of this wise man traveling to visit the Christ child. It is called Epiphany Sunday, celebrating the coming of the wise men and the gifts that they brought. In fact, in some parts of the world, families actually exchange gifts on the day of Epiphany. And everybody knows about the story of these wise men. You know, the first Gentiles coming to the Christ child. Everybody knows about them bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, singing, "We three kings of Orient are." We all know the story, and so you wonder what more can come out of this story. After all, we have tried to view through several different lenses over the years, looking at it from different perspectives, different vantage points. Some years I've been more curious about the encounter with King Herod, this ruthless madman who murdered his own family, and wondering what it says to us about power, the abuse of power, and what people will do in order to retain that power desperately. And also talk about the kind of power that this holy child will employ as he reigns over his kingdom. Some years I've wondered about the gifts these wise men have brought, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold represents virtue or good deeds. Incense, frankincense, represents worship and prayer. And the myrrh, of course, represents suffering and sacrifice. And some years I've actually talked about the star. You know, the star that they were following must have been very different than any others in the night sky. And so we talked about it from various perspectives of the story. So what about this year? Well, there is something different this year with the story, isn't it? And that is, you have a new preacher reflecting on this story. And I have a new audience to reflect the story with. And so you might wonder, will he preach any differently with the same old story that we hear about every year around this time? And I also wonder if you will hear something different, something new this morning. Maybe. But then again, maybe not. This year, I want us to go back to the wise men themselves. And I want to talk about them, maybe because I know how tired they must have been after all that traveling. You know, they must have been worn out. After all, journey from the east to Jerusalem most likely would have been a very long journey. You know, through some fierce landscapes and brutal terrain, you know, traveling on a camel and through the desert that goes between extreme heat and cold back and forth. Now, we don't travel on a camel today, and we don't have to worry about those brutal landscapes and terrain of that time, but we do have LA traffic, do we not? You know, the bottleneck 101 and 405, throw in a freeway 10 and congestions and 210, freeway 210. And I think Robert probably knows what that is like, traveling back and forth from Glendora. And so we know how tired it can be when we are on the road traveling. And I feel like a worn-out traveler myself with all that driving. This past month, preparing for Christmas, attending all the church events, family events, clergy events, and etc. It seems that everyone travels over holidays, vacations. And so you wonder, what is it about this time of the year that we furiously prepare for Christmas and then try to wrap up a year and get ready for the new year? And then come back to church on the very first Sunday, very first day of New Year. And so we feel like we have run a sprint to this day. And I know it's not just me. And so we do identify with these worn out travelers from the East. Perhaps next year for Christmas, you know, I will get what I really want. You know, it's not presents, it's not more food or vacations, but a few more hours of quiet time and prayer. But perhaps that's just not the way the Christmas season is supposed to be. You know, I like to tell you that Bible gives us the rest that we need. But in some ways, it doesn't. The story of Christmas doesn't end, doesn't get any easier. You know, before we even finish singing 12 Days of Christmas, King Herod enters the story now. Herod, sensing that another king, born as a little infant, will grow up and challenge his strong-fisted government, is frantically trying to do something about it, even if it means killing all the newborn babies, 2 years old or under. And so later, Jesus and his family escapes to Egypt. And so the first family of our faith goes on the run. And into this sort of epic tale of life and death, of good and evil, come these wise men to play really a major role. The life of the Christ child in some ways rests on these worn out, unknown travelers from the East. Probably not very religious people at all, with very little knowledge of the scripture, but rather a strange misfit. And yet they just happen to walk into this Christmas story. Now, who are these wise men? You know them, don't you? The wise men are sometimes called the kings, though they were really far from royalty, as we know. The Bible doesn't give us all that much to go on. We don't even know how many there were, though the tradition tells us there were three based on the three gifts that they brought. And you know what some women say about these wise men. And that is, they would say, well, if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and given more practical gifts, right? And all of which are probably true. And the Greek translations for wise men is literally magi, meaning they're magicians or astrologers, the ones who study stars, not wars. And you could even say that they are really wizards. And the image of astrologer some may have today is of this old-looking person or odd-looking person with many piercings and exaggerated makeup, wearing funny hats and long robes and holding out fuzzy palm and that 800 number promising love, riches, and happiness to the first 10 callers. And you wonder why, and what are they doing in our Christmas story? They get lost. They are depicted in Christmas pageants with wearing all these strange hats and costumes. They certainly are not from mainstream. They just don't fit in, and one has to ask the question, why in the world would God allow the life of God's own son to rest on the journey of these tired, misfit traveler from the East? And yet, the Bible tells us story after story about how God uses the misfits of the world to accomplish God's purpose in the world. Even non-religious astrologers like these can help bring about God's good work in the world. You know, my children, like many of yours and your grandchildren, and also perhaps some of you, grew up watching The Lord of the Rings by J.R. Tolkien. You know, we can always see that movie somewhere in our cable channels, and I've seen a lot over the last few days. And I don't know all the lines of the movie like my sons do, but I do remember the scene where the hobbit Frodo, who is the most unlikely candidate to carry that ring to its purpose, is contemplating the thought when he is given the task, I wish I have never seen the ring, Frodo says. I wish I had never seen the ring. Why did it come to me? Why was I chosen? And that old wizard Gandalf says, such questions cannot be answered. You may be sure that it was not for any merit that others do not possess, nor the power or wisdom at any rate, but you have been chosen, and you must therefore use such strength and wisdom and wits as you have. And likewise, these wise men perhaps had thought in the middle of the wilderness, tired and worn out, I wish I had never seen that star. Why did it come to us? And like Frodo and the wise men and all of us, we wonder from time to time, why? Why did the star come to us? And how and why did I decide to follow Jesus? Because we all know it's not an easy journey. It's not. Have any of you felt like the wise men? Have you ever felt you are on this strange journey, perhaps finding yourself in the midst of a desert wilderness? Do you know what it's like to search for God and the answer doesn't come quickly as you would like to have? Have you sometimes wondered just how much further that you have to travel? And not only that, the wise men thought that they had finally arrived when they came to the place or the palace in Jerusalem, because if a new king has been born, he's certainly ought to have been born in a place like that palace in Jerusalem. But instead, they ran into King Herod, the most hated person at the time, a person who is out to kill Jesus, not to help them find Jesus. And sometimes it may feel like the winds of life are whipping up a storm, just like in the desert. And when we thought that we have finally arrived, we then wonder, will I fit in? Will I be a good fit for this purpose? But in our own unique and misfit way, we have been chosen. We have been created to offer our gifts, our unique gifts to God and God's work in the world. You see, we are constantly on a journey, as the wise men were on a journey. Their journey goes beyond what some commercials lead us to believe about life's journey in our consumer-oriented culture, you know, telling us that life should be always about having fun, and if you are not having fun, well, then you should buy our products. That's the way our culture is. And we often wish life could be that easy, right? That simple and entertaining. But the journey that these wise men were on tells us that life often don't run or don't turn out that simple. Their journey represents our life's journey. And in life's journey, it's not that simple. There are mistakes, there are detours, there are illnesses, there are questions, and there are doubts. And then there are King Herods out there. But the wise men kept looking up. They kept looking up and sought this mysterious star. Now, we don't know how bright or how spectacular the star was. But then again, you know, I wonder, it might have been something so slight that no one paid any attention. Because if it were spectacular, I think everyone else would have noticed it and followed it. But the light, the star was so ordinary, people overlooked But the wise men kept looking up to the star. You know, it's easy to walk right past by these ordinary signs of life without observing. It really is. But those ordinary stars are observed by those who keep looking, by those who keep searching beyond this craziness of our culture and the world around us. And my guess is that it's not just these wise men who feel like misfits. My sense is that all of us, to the extent that we try to live faithfully, we feel like we don't belong sometimes, like somehow we don't fit in. Whether you're single people, whether you are divorced, whether you are retired, poor or rich, whether you're old or young, coming from dysfunctional family, every one of us at times feel like that we are not going to fit in. We're not going to fit in anywhere. We feel like we are misfits. Our lives are off balance, and so we pause. And in that pause, we might ask with Frodo, why me? I didn't choose this journey. We're like wise men. I wish I hadn't seen the star. I'm tired. But they kept following the star. They kept following the light. And finally, when they found Jesus, they responded with joy. They were overwhelmed with joy. They embraced him. And ultimately, the joy we receive at Christmas is really that incarnation, isn't it? That God's gift of himself, the Word made flesh, dwelling in our midst, reminding us that God is with us. They embrace that gift. And they offer them their gifts. Yes, not practical, but who knows? Gold might have come handy when Jesus' family had to escape to Egypt. You never know. And of course, after encountering Jesus, they went home by another way. And that happens when we encounter God, doesn't it? Our faith sends us on an altogether different directions, different road less traveled. You see, the key to finding deeper meaning and deeper purpose in our lives, it may not be working harder to fit in somewhere. Our young people sometimes do that. I probably have done that when I was young too, trying so hard to fit in. In some ways, maybe I still do. But the key to the life of grace, to our life's purpose, is to find that place where we are unique with our God-given gifts. I love what theologian Frederick Buechner says. In that place where your great gifts meet the world's greatest pain, that is where you will find God. In that place where your great gifts meet world's great pain, that is where you will find God. And so, what will your journey look like in 2017? This is a good place, good time to start thinking about some of those basic questions of our faith. And as you do, maybe take a little note from these wise men. They were not God's insiders. They were travelers from the entirely different culture. They were worn-out travelers, misfits, and yet they have revealed to us something about this journey and how to find God, and something that God's insiders were just slow to see or didn't see at all. Howard Thurman reminds us that it is often these misfits, the misfits of the world, who generally do the real work of Christmas after Christmas is long over. And he wrote this beautiful poem. And I want to end as a prayer, this poem that Howard Thurman writes. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, and yes, to make music in the heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.